As Republicans and Democrats continue talks about the southern border, today the Supreme Court honed in on one important procedure in the larger immigration system. Justices heard cases about how the government notifies undocumented immigrants about their immigration court dates and what should happen if the government hasn't provided key details clearly. Details like the hearing's location and when it'll occur. These notifications are important because people can face deportation if they don't show up to those hearings. It's known as an in absentia removal order. Nadia Anguiano is one of the lawyers working on the case for the plaintiffs. She's also a law professor at the University of Minnesota. We spoke with her earlier and she told us about Morris Campos Chavez, who's at the center of one case.
Mr. Campos Chavez I'll start by saying that he's a native and citizen of El Salvador, but he's been in the United States for almost 25 years as U.S. citizen children, lives with them and his wife in Texas. But he is subject to something called an in absentia order of removal, which means that it was entered against him in his absence. But now what's happening here, and the reason that his case is at the U.S. Supreme Court, is that he's challenging that order on the ground that the notice the government provided to him to start his removal proceeding violated the law because it did not include the date and time of when his removal hearing would be held. And so what he's asking the Supreme Court to decide is whether he can rescind or eliminate that order simply to reopen his hearing and have his day in court to ask for any possibilities to stay in the United States with his family.
So let's just spell this out a little further, because the first notice that he received, and that was back in January 2005, told him that his removal proceedings in court, where he could make a case to stay, would be, quote, at a time to be determined. Then a few months later, the immigration court mailed him another document saying his case was scheduled for that September. The document was mailed to the address that Campos Chavez gave. Didn't he get the relevant information just somewhat later about when to show up? How do you prove he wasn't properly notified?
I think what's important to keep in mind here is that this case doesn't turn on this case-by-case adjudication of an inquiry of did you know, did you not know of your hearing. What it turns on is a very specific statute that Congress wrote that says the government has to provide certain pieces of information in that initial notice that you just mentioned. And it's important to note that this is actually the third in a series of cases where the Supreme Court has considered this question. And in those cases, the court was very clear that that initial notice has to be complete and has to include that date and time information. Because if not, there can be all sorts of confusion about the hearings. And that's why Congress required, in fact, the government to do that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can imagine some people thinking it would be impossible to not be on top of all the important details of your immigration court hearing, especially if it might result in you getting removed from the country. I have to tell you, Nadia, I was reporting in San Francisco for the San Francisco Chronicle, and just a few years ago, the immigration courts there were deporting hundreds of people in absentia because the government was knowingly sending their notices to appear to addresses the government, the court knew was wrong. I'm just wondering how common it is for people to not show up. What do we know about why they don't?
For that, I want to point back to even some of the factual reality that the Supreme Court acknowledged in those two prior cases. It acknowledged that when individuals get one notice, two notices, three notices, sometimes with conflicting information and piecemeal information, it creates this cloud of confusion, in particular to immigrants who may be new to the country, who may not have fluency in English or really an understanding of how the removal process works. And that's why there's this bright line, right, that says in that initial notice document, which is basically a charging or initiating document, the government needs to provide all of the information so that the non-citizen has it in one place.
And Nadia, should the court rule in your favor, this doesn't mean people in the U.S. now affected by the ruling would be allowed to stay in the country, right? Tell us more about the stakes of this case.
Absolutely not. And that's exactly right. What the Supreme Court, if it rules in our favor, would decide is simply whether folks like my client are able to get their day in court, at which then they'd be able to provide any information about any eligibility for relief to actually stay in the United States.
So Nadia, obviously this is a big day for you and your legal team. It's also a huge day for Mr. Campos Chavez. His ability to stay in the country is at stake here. How is he feeling?
He's feeling nervous, but optimistic. And he hopes that not only for his case, but for all non-citizens affected by this, the Supreme Court will do the right thing.
Nadia Anguiano is one of the lawyers working on Campos Chavez v. Garland, an immigration case at the Supreme Court. She's also a law professor at the University of Minnesota. Nadia, thank you.
Thank you so much.